this guy Wally out there by Mission Hills where I grew up. And he had a house sitting for this couple, and they had horses, kind of like a ranch style house, and he sold one of their horses. Hello, everyone. Hola, mis amigos. You're listening to Oh My God, Hi, Hijo de Dios, Hola. With me, George Lopez, porque sabes que, let's do the show, porque I got a lot of things to do. I gotta go to that dry cleaner here by Kid Phelps. Se pegó la cabeza, I gotta go get some Neosporin Paul.
You know where George is?
Oh, I'm sure he's around here somewhere.
What's his name? George?
Lopez.
George Lopez.
Oh my God.
OMG.
OMG. Hi.
Oh my God. Hi. I don't know how different my life would be if I never drank.
Me and my father are having this conversation now. Yeah, he's just he asked me that question. We like sat down and had the whole thing, and he's starting to like not want to drink, and it's pretty crazy.
I think at some point, it's like, is it fun? I mean, it's just, it goes away, and you do it again, and you do it again.
I'm drinking in my next life.
Okay.
I asked that to I told my pops, I was like, drink is fine. I was like, but when it gets to the point where you start to like change, and I was like, because that's always with him. I was like, because he's like fun, it's a great time, life of the party, but there's always that moment, like after a certain amount of beers, it just gets like, he gets sad about shit from like 20 years ago.
And
I'm like, there's nothing we could do about this.
Is that you too, or is that just
me? No. I'm the
Frank's
same.
Dad.
I'm the same way. Drunk,
shit, man.
Sober.
Too much shit has happened, though, I think.
It doesn't matter.
You start to think about people that you love that aren't around anymore and you've been drinking.
Oh.
Of course, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to get sentimental.
Mm-hmm. I went Saturday to a reunion for guys who worked East LA back in the late 60s, 70s. Guys there with canes, oxygen, this, that. They were once warriors. But you look around and you say, hey, these guys ain't going to be around next year.
Wow.
You know, there's some old guys there. Mm-hmm. It was kind of sad.
Yeah.
See what they were once, vibrant and going around.
Mighty fucking detectives.
But not anymore.
Crime fighters.
Yeah.
Now they just get on the pull up in the car. Let's go. It looks dangerous.
This looks sketchy.
Had me a ball last night. I went to go see Momo.
Uh-huh.
And I went up on...
We're at the Golden Corral.
At the
when was it? Shoney's.
At the Brea Improv.
Ooh.
And they signed a petition to bring back Sir George's smorgasbord.
I remember
trying to bring back more food.
They had one right there in Pico when I grew up. Sir George's.
They were the great. They were banquet halls.
Yeah.
Sure. Go in there for baseball ceremonies, work, receptions, and then what? So what was it? The paranormal thing?
It was the paranormal thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was different. That AJ is something else.
He's amazing.
Paranormal? What was it you guys were?
He was reading
people in the audience. Have you ever had that done?
Yeah.
Do you believe in that stuff? So introduce our guest, Grant.
Oh, yeah, today.
Looking around.
Today on the podcast.
I also got him stoned. I apologize.
He did. Oh. He gave me a big hit of a damn thing right before this, which we had somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, this is actually yours. I got a bunch of gifts for you.
By way of intro, comedian Frank Castillo, winner of Roast Battle in 2018, something like that. You can tell us all you want to say.
That's like winning the World Series of Poker for a comedian.
There you go.
It's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, is it?
No. Making fun of people, because it was like weeks of writing. It was a whole thing. Yeah. It was
how do you
great
prepare?
Though.
Let's see. How do you prepare for that?
Because
this is a battle like one-on-one, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, like singers.
Yeah. So for this one, for the tournament, it was they told you who you were battling the first week, and then you had a week to prepare, and then after that you had 2 days because you had to watch who won, and then you had to prepare from then on, and then the finals you had to write for three people, and that was about 4 days of writing.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, it was like a writer's showcase. And when I won, my family thought it was the best thing in the world because, you know, they're all super Mexican and making fun of people is like, that's all they do.
Yeah,
like, they just roasted the shit out of me my whole life. Mm. So when I went up on TV and people were making fun of me, I was like, yeah, my mom says worse things to me. But yeah, it was great.
But we really do love to. I think it's a way of, it's counter affection because if they're saying, hey, Tetas, get over here. And you're a boy, like 13, you got little titties, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't call me Tetas. Oh, how come? Come and look at yourself.
Yeah.
And then you have Tetas, and then they all start calling you Tetas from school. Tetas, let's go.
My uncle would call me training bra.
Oh, brutal, dude.
Just the worst. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there was also a lot of us. There was a lot of cousins. So I was like the middle one. So it was kind of like if you, to be noticed, you had to be the loudest or to make fun of people. Yeah.
And you were born in El Paso?
No, I was born in San Jose, California. Okay. Yeah, my family's from Los Angeles. And then I moved to Temecula, California. And that's where I started comedy when I was 21.
What was out there?
Drinking that Temecula wine.
Ay, ay, ay. It is a Border Patrol station and an Indian casino. It is, and a lot of white people. It is, it was very interesting. Culture shock for me from going to like the Bay Area, which was like a mix of everybody. You know what I mean? It's a, I mean, my grandparents used to work in the fields in San Jose. So then to go to Temecula, where it was like a military town, very safe place.
Right.
And then to get stopped by the Border Patrol like all the time was
what's
the
going
worst.
On over there in Temecula? What dynamic? Is that like a more hidden Orange County?
It is a more hidden Orange County. It's the best place to raise your kids if you're white.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see a lot of other minorities.
If you were white, would you like a Mexican living next to you?
I don't know. I don't know what it's like living, being white, and I've had Mexicans all around me.
You know how to get on the road to being white? Have reading glasses and an iPad and your phone and be just scrolling your messages.
Put a Boston shirt white, on. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, that's a white guy.
Calling me Mr.
Mr. Gill? Yeah.
Mr. Gill. Mr. Gill's here. Yeah, yeah. So that's cool, man. And then where did you go up first?
First, in Temecula. That's where I first went up.
There's a club out there? No.
No, it was just bars. I was literally doing stand-up in, like, bars. There's one club. It was a Pechanga Resort and Casino.
Yep.
Oh, that's where I would do stand-up. I was a busboy there, and I would told them I wanted to do stand-up, and they're like, sure, we'll put you on stage, which was a mistake for them, if you think about it. But I still did great, and then I moved to Los Angeles, because that's where I met Jesus Trejo. He was, like, featuring there a lot, and he was just kind of like, if you're going to be a big fish in a small pond, or are you going to move to Los Angeles and try to, like, do it?
Right.
And then he told me at the Comedy Store, and then I moved there, became a door guy, and then worked my way up. Now I'm a paid regular.
What are some of the politics, or what are some of the things? You don't have to say names, but what goes on I started at the Comedy Store way back.
Yeah.
I was 18. I couldn't really get in, you know.
Absolutely.
They put you up and then put you out. Like, they'd go, the show would start at 8. By 8:06, I was already outside.
Damn.
And then people were just coming in, and by 9:06, 10:06, it was roaring, man. And I just saw 11 people, you know.
Yeah.
Awful.
It was, when I got there, it was the hardest thing to get in. And also, I didn't know this, but a lot of people told me that the store didn't fuck with Mexicans, which I had no idea that was like a, kind of like a rumor or like a stereotype. But when I got in, people were just like, yeah, it's just really hard to get in. So for the open mics, you sign up. It's 16 people. They pull names out of a hat. There's a few people they pick that they want to see, the talent coordinator wants to see. And then you do that for a few years, and then you either get hired as a door guy, or you get passed into the friends and family, which you start doing development spots, and that's just like spots on different shows throughout the week.
Oh, wow.
But being a door guy there, that's like the main thing, because you're like meeting everybody, taking out the trash, you're like putting your time in. So I was there for like 6 years, and then I got showcased, and then I got passed. So there is a lot of politics, because there's people that are outside that have credits that come in, and then they have to get passed because, you know, they're killing it on Netflix or whatever, and they do deserve to get in. And then there's certain people who, like me, who like had to start from the beginning and then work their way all the way up and then earned it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it haunted?
I absolutely think it's haunted.
Because that used to be Ciro's, right?
Yep.
Ciro's was all the mafia thing. I think that's where Frank Sinatra punched some photographer. A lot of shit went down in there.
People got murdered there. There was abortions in the belly room. There's a whole thing.
Is that why it's called that?
No, but it's pretty terrifying. Yeah. There's a lot of scary stuff that happens.
I think a lot of sensitive voices.
I don't know if I believe in like ghosts and spirits and energies. I do believe in getting absolutely creeped out when I'm in a room by myself.
Never saw anything like
there's been
that?
Like a few times where I've like walked by a door and seen like a shadow and like had to like double take. There's been times where I've heard things, but never like definitive to where I've been like, that's a ghost or that's a spirit or anything like that. But yeah. Definitely been freaked the fuck out
there. Yeah, glasses probably drop, or you hear mumbling. Yeah. That's a thing too, mumbling.
Some comics have thrown chairs while the manager's been like closing out to like freak people out.
Oh.
That was a thing that I heard. I had a story about a comic talking about how, like, one time they were in the store, they were in the main room, and they were just terrified. They heard, like, laughing and scratching and stuff. And then later on, you'll hear, like, a comic being like, yeah, I followed this person in the main room when I was scratching and throwing chairs. And you're like, oh, yeah, it is a lot of drunk people and comics fucking with people.
Yeah.
But there was a friend of mine who passed out in the store and woke up at 3 a.m. after everything had been shut down. And he said it was like ice cold. He said he could see his breath when he was breathing. And he had to like climb out of the second story window because everything was locked. But he says as he was climbing out, he could hear what you were saying, that mumbling. Like there was distant conversations in the main room or like somewhere else in the building. And he was like, I had to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. A lot of bad shit went on in there.
Yeah.
That was the height of, I think...
The Rat Pack and
those
stuff,
singers, right? Rat Pack, all the great, beautiful, you know, the place to be seen. That Sammy Davis Jr. they performed, all those people performing there. So there's a lot of
energy.
These Mexicans don't go around stuff like that.
Right? You seen stuff in your house?
No, I don't see nothing. As a matter of fact, they asked me that last night. This paranormal, I said, no, this Mexican's smart enough to say, I'm getting the fuck out.
You know, my mom was the same way. She believes in all of it, but she's also like, let's get the fuck out of here. She's like, I ain't trying to hang around.
Yeah.
Over there, it
is. Especially even if I went in with a group, I'm the slowest one. So I'm the one they're going to get. Yeah.
How do they explain when you see something move or fall or you see what is like a fucking... shadows of something that's a person. Like, what is? How do you explain? I believe it because my house. They had it in my house, and I had quite a lot in my house.
What do you mean? Like,
when I moved in 2014, I would hear, "Ma, no, fucking, what?
Fuck that?
Fuck was that? Right?" Uh-huh. And then I heard another week, "Ma," and I'm like, "Okay, there's somebody up here." I don't know who it is. So I go down and I walk around. There's nobody. And right around 3 o'clock in the morning, which is when it usually happens,
the witching
hour. Start to hear moving things. And I saw shit in there that was too much for me. Like I had to have somebody come in.
See,
yeah.
That house would have a for sale sign.
Yeah. I know, man. Wouldn't be Gil's house for long.
Man, like it's creepy, dude.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, you got that big painting in that living room.
The one, let me see if I can find this fucking thing right here. My daughter goes, you know, there's a paranormal app on TikTok. And I said, there is. And
paranormal talk.
It has something. I caught something go in front of it and move. And there's no way it could have been me. So I was kind of okay with what I was hearing, you know. And then I started to see orbs and all that stuff. And then it started to get a little bit. On another level, and then I heard like you know talking and computer sounding voices, you know numbers, like that
numbers.
Yeah, what the fuck is this shit?
Numbers. You drive a Tesla? Is that just
no?
Are you sure, it's not the update.
No, it could not. No, it's not. It's I wish it was. But it got a little bit.
Anybody ever hear anybody having sex in there? And you're not involved.
I'm trying not to do that in there. I don't want to piss them off. But
this
but,
ghost is getting it.
But yeah. And then I took a. It was really only on like the left side down the hall, and all of a sudden I started to look like I felt things going like this. So I put the video on and I went. Kind of like this, but wasn't looking.
No.
And there was like an octagon in the picture, and I said, "Oh, what's that in there?" And I zoomed in, and it was a.
Oh, this is gonna freak me out. My hands are all sweaty. Look, my hands are already sweaty, oh, no. Dude.
It was a green face in an octagon that wasn't there, and that's when I said, "I think it's time." Like yes. Yeah. Because they're on both sides. I only felt one on one side, and then now they're on both sides.
Who owned it before? Do you know any history of the house?
You know, I think it was just these people had it for a long, long time, and then it didn't have many owners. Maybe three. So it's from the 20s.
That's classic ghost.
But you know what the lady said is, you know, they by Griffith Park they travel across and they look for places to kind of.
Get AJ and Momo to go down there.
Momo's been down there, and Momo, you know, Momo's he's got a feel for it too. Momo does, and when Momo's at my house, we were in that room upstairs, and he goes, "Who called you Encanto?" I said, "Well, what did you say? Who called you Encanto?" I said,
Where did you hear that? He goes, no, right now, like it just came into my head. My grandpa used to call me that. And that's something nobody would know.
See, when shit like that happens, I'm always just like, how the fuck? Because there's always sometimes people like cold read or whatever.
Just but went
when
to
it's
them, yeah.
Yeah, when it's small, like yeah. very specific
yeah, all
stuff.
All right, I'll be right there. George, I got to go.
Yeah. They give me chills.
We'll give you some smoke on the way out to make sure that nothing sticks to you. But, you know, I think in Mexican families,
yeah,
that's believed a lot. Right?
The Llorona.
Culturally, yeah.
The Llorona, and then just things that you just hear, man. Like,
hey. Also, like, spiritually and, like, going on and stuff. Like,
come on, cucuy.
Yeah. My mom always just be like, Grandma's still with us. Grandpa's still with us. You know, our family members are still with us.
Nobody like, in your family, not your mom or dad? No.
No, you know, last night they.
They tried to read you?
AJ. Says, can I read you before you go? Yeah, I don't care. And so he starts telling him about, he says, I see a man, an adult man. He says, it's not your father, your father-in-law. And you had a father-in-law, and somehow July is very prevalent in this. July was July's birthday. I said, no, but that's his name was Julio. That's what everybody called him, July.
Oh,
wow. And
I said, oh, okay. And he says he couldn't communicate. He's using you to tell your wife he loves her very much. He's doing okay. And he knows he couldn't communicate with her in the end. Well, he had Alzheimer's and he was gone and then mm-hmm. He went in a coma. And so that was he had a couple of people, three people on the audience crying. He had a bunch of people audience.
And what is
that,
man?
Crying.
Intuition or what is that? What are you born with?
I don't know. At one point in time, him and Momo were talking. I was on stage and I moved a little left of Momo. I was, you know, like, hey, that's I'm getting too close to you, brother. And then I'm over here with AJ and AJ starts, I'm going to move back over here in the mm-hmm. middle because they were talking, especially AJ. He reached out and got some lady to talk. I see a boy. And the month of January comes up, and it's not a big boy. He's about 5 years old. And is there anybody here? And some lady up front says, hey, Mexican. She says, she raised her hand. She says, my son. He says, did your son pass? She said, yes. And wow. He would be 5 years old today. And
whoa,
he says,
man.
Wow. He says, wait a minute. Name starts with an E-R-A-R. Well, the guy's name was like Aaron or Ernie. And I'm saying, holy jeez. She's crying. He does stuff with her lady next to her. And I'm saying, these are Mexicans. They're not, you know, they're not shills. They're just there.
He got it, huh?
Yeah.
Picked up on it.
And then he starts talking to her and heard about her father. And he had a grave illness. Well, he died of cancer, and he died in this month and had a message, you know. And the mother used to boss him around, and everything was right. And she was crying worse than the mother of the five-year-old.
I mean.
And there were other people in the audience. I'm sitting right there, and there, you see him crying, just going through this. There was one lady, I reached over to Momo. No.
He's holding up a picture. No.
That's weird.
Creepy-ass shadow face.
That was in the corner of that picture. And this is the paranormal. Here it is. So the thing that's in front of the screen is not that. That's the, and watch this, how it moves. See, that's not my finger. Watch this. Did you see that?
Hmm? It just kind of.
It just moves away. Because I'm holding the camera with this hand. That means I would have to go like this.
Yeah.
But that's not. Let me see. So the yellow is the meter, and then there's that, and then it goes away.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh man, I'm thoroughly creeped out now. I like how I was like, "Do you believe in it?" I was like, "No," and then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, "All right, now I'm terrified."
You know what? It's gotta be something. If it's energy or if it's whatever. Your parents weren't. Your family wasn't into that shit.
Oh, absolutely. They were.
Yeah,
my grandma,
totally.
My dad, absolutely. Yeah, my mom does the sage. She does everything.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I'm good. I'm actually going to...
So Frank brought a grab bag of goodies here.
Oh, yeah. I have everything.
How did you get into the... How did you get... How did you get into the weed?
I'll explain that right now. So I've always just been a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
And when I got my first manager, he told me, he was like, you should lay off the weed stuff. And I was like, all right. But now...
Was that our mutual friend?
That was our mutual friend. And then now I've just been a fan of these guys, specifically Punch Extracts and Puffco. They've saw me do stand-up, and then we kind of just reached out, and then they
so
were
just
So
you talk like, about weed in your stand-up?
No, I just do a lot of weed. So these brands, a lot of weed brands pay influencers, like thousands of dollars for, like, posts and stuff, and I was just like, I do stand-up. Just pay me, and I'll just use, you know what I mean? Because I already use the products already, and I love them, and I stand by them. So, yeah, that's how I got into weed. I've always been into weed. If I wasn't a comic, I'd have just been working at a dispensary.
What are the benefits of it? Like, you does it mellow you out? Can you concentrate now or before you really... I never felt like it.
For me, it was like, my whole family drinks, so, yeah. Like... Weed, for me, it's like I could do weed and still be fine, especially when I do stand-up.
Yeah.
Because I'm anxious anyways. I have natural anxiety. So whenever I do weed, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just stoned.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it does help. And you know,
it helps me a lot.
Yeah. What do you think it was that finally made it go over the top, like being legalized in all these states?
I think it was when a lot of the people, especially like cancer patients and like the actual medical benefits, because aside from everyone that just loves smoking weed, there's actual benefits, medical benefits for people that are like have cancer or like problems and stuff. Like my wife's aunt has really bad arthritis. We went on a
just taking a look here.
Yeah.
Cannabis infused malt balls.
Got one.
Yeah. Like my wife's aunt's like 75. She's got bad arthritis. She hates taking pills.
Yeah.
I gave her some edibles. Yeah, and she's best sleep she's ever had. That's same thing with my pops. I'm trying to get him to stop drinking and do more edibles. Just because he likes that feeling of being under the influence, but it's like with edibles, the worst thing that's going to happen, you're going to spend a bunch of money on food. You know
right.
I mean? Yeah. You do edibles too, right?
I do edibles, yeah.
Yeah. What's your net? What do you usually do, like, the most?
Well, 20.
I'll do 100.
You do 100?
I'll do 100 right now.
What do you need? Here's the malt.
Yeah.
Balls.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of edibles.
Yeah, come on.
Gil. You go wait in the car for a couple. You taste a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes good. Tastes like a mothball Whopper.
That's dope. I love that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these things do not taste good.
I sleep good at night using those. The last batch you gave, the Chingon ones, they're good. The one we got at the golf tournament.
Yeah, they're good, right?
Yeah.
So sleep. So these guys came to me and they said, well, you know what do you see. That's not out there right now. Like, I didn't... This was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how about, like, Vicks with CBD, THC?
Yeah.
And we did it.
Yeah.
So the Vicks is already mentholatum, so it goes deep, and then it takes that with it. So it's almost like...
I gave that to one of my aunts, too. That's like... Stuff like that is so amazing. Important. So, yeah.
And, you know...
It's good. I use that.
And you know, you when B-Real was in here, you know, you were like, hey, I don't do it. You know, never did it. Because when you said you were a sheriff, it was a felony to
absolutely
have weed.
Oh, yeah.
So it has that still with me, me too. Like, you know, I'm older like you, and then you think you're going to get in trouble. Like, you fucking guys are going to get in trouble. No.
Yeah. I mean, your generation had all the propaganda. You guys, like, it ended people's careers. And, like, I mean, there's still people in jail now. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I just said, I'm not a prude. I don't give a shit who does it. Just that old stigma, because it was so long, I don't do it. My doctor's the one, when I asked him, I said, what about this shit for arthritis? And he says, hey, I buy that stuff for my mother.
Yeah.
Well, and you know,
when I started using. Now I use the Vicks one.
Mm-hmm. When you see people with chronic pain, and they go to the doctor and they give you Prilosec, a bottle of Prilosec and a bottle of fucking Norco's or anything, but that fuck your stomach up. Like, like chalk in your stomach and you can't pass them all. And they give you this because it's going to disrupt your stomach, and now you're doing these, and you're getting addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, right?
Yep.
It doesn't...
Yeah, and then now there's also, like, there are people with cancer patients. My friends know all the correct terminology, and I know they're going to scream at me for fucking this up. But so most people get raw cannabis, and they'll, like, boil it down, or they'll, like, make it to where it's like a paste so you can get the actual, not THCA, there's an actual cannabinoid that, like, helps shrink the cancer. Wow. So that's but you have to eat like the paste of it. And it's just concentrated THC.
Cannabinoid. That's another new word.
Cannabinoid.
Right? Yeah.
The cannabinoid is what?
So there's like a lot of education when it comes to weed. Like when it comes, like everyone thinks it's like sativa or indica. So the best
way. You know what? Here's another fucking marijuana that's sharp. Yeah, like, yeah. Be real.
Yeah, yeah.
Be real. They were in there smoking. Like, you know, you guys smoke all day or eat all day, yeah, yeah. And then come in here and say, "What was I going to tell you?" They know. So no, that's a.
Yeah. So a lot of people think weed's all sativa and indicas, which right. Back in the day it was. A lot of it's the terpene profile. So like whenever terpene profile is like flowers, because that's what weed is. Weed's a flower. So like you ever smell weed and it smells like citrus?
I knew what a terpene flower profile.
You ever smell flowers and you're like, oh, this smells fruity or whatever. Same thing with a weed. So like certain terpenes affect you specifically. So like some people like to feel calm when they smoke, so they'll smoke sativa. When in reality, it's a specific terpene. It's like the lemon flavor or lemon smell that calms you. Same thing with like different strains and stuff. So yeah. So it's all like, yeah, it's all flowers, man.
But it's all kind of scientific too now.
Yeah, right? A lot of it is scientific. Extremely. So there's actual buildings where people, like guys like my cousin who've been growing weed his whole life and was getting in tons of trouble. Now that it's legal, people are looking for growers. Like big brands with tons of money will look for people to be like, hey, I have grow houses. We really don't know anyone that's qualified. And then my cousin walks in and he's like, I've been doing this for years. And now he's got a legit job.
You see, that's real work like us. We would be like, hey, what would happen if a fucking dog fucking cat like, they had a baby that fucking looked like George? Hey, leave me out of your conversations. But you know, that was our shit. Now they got scientists doing it and ours are like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, torturing a fucking bird.
It's all good.
I'm glad we came up from those days. Yeah. But then a lot of it was bad.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, like anything, there's still people, like, there's the unregulated market, which are people, like, you know, people just trying to get by. And there's also people still trying to cut corners and make a quick buck. So there's, like, a thing that was happening in the underground market where people were cutting concentrates with, like, wood sap. So it looks like concentrates. Oh, wow. And then you go home and you're like, oh, this is just... like rubber.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, because people try to get over on people all the time. And that's where it becomes dangerous, where it's like, if you're buying stuff from the unregulated market, you might get bad product as opposed to buying stuff from the legitimate market. But even then, the legitimate companies, some of them aren't following the correct standards of practice.
Is there a FDA of marijuana?
There's a few like...
There should be though, right?
There should be. There needs
to
be, yeah.
That way you can get a handbook and figure it out.
But the problem that's happening now is since this is all a new market and these are all starting to get built, a lot of the people that are building those things, like the oversight committees, those are all people like that are in the pockets of other people that are getting paid for. Yeah. It's pretty crazy to see.
It's like when they send you things to vote, that two-page thing on the cardboard, and you go, oh, these are pretty good. And you look at the book, sponsored by
Temecula's
for a Safe America. And most people would follow that.
Of course.
It's all the box is big. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think. Yeah. You read it a little at the bottom of who's paying for it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going to happen in the weed coming up is going to be insane. Like, there's going to be a lot of legit companies jumping into the weed world. Like, there's beer companies that are going to be starting to make, like, THC, like, seltzers and such.
Yeah.
There's someone making, like, I think it's Sumo Snacks. They're making a THC snack line. So it's, like, Doritos, Cheetos, stuff that are not, like, chocolate or, like, gummies.
Right.
It's wild to see.
And those things are going to go into... I think Whole Foods or Pavilions.
CVS is selling CBD creams already.
And it's better than...
CBD doesn't work.
It doesn't? I mean,
I've tried the CBD. It does nothing.
It depends on which ones you get. Because that's the thing, too, is like a lot of the CBD that's out there is like not either enough or regulated.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, people are just like, this is a thing. Try it. And then the placebo effect happens.
But it's come a long way in a short amount of time. Maybe
absolutely,
in 10 years, right? Where you would go to some place and there was a doctor. You'd go and see him. And you go and he goes, how are you guys doing? Pretty good. What, you can't sleep? No, I can't sleep. You got pain in your back? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And they couldn't regulate that.
No. He's got a tie-dye shirt on and everything. Yeah. Like, yeah. Bob Marley's playing. He's like, oh, yeah.
And they would write you $50 or $40, whatever. Mm-hmm. They would write you a card. Now you can go get it.
Yeah. LAX put out that thing saying that if you fly out of LA with under 6 grams or 2 ounces of weed, they're not going to stop you. TSA is not going to stop you because they're just like, they're worried about more important things. Nice. But if you're in another state where it's illegal and you're leaving the airport, then it's a whole different situation.
Yeah, wrong.
Yeah.
And how do they do it with considering like driving under the influence? Is there a way?
No, we went through, I don't know what they do because all this shit came out before. Now they're doing a little war. I know, but I don't know what they're doing. In order to test them, you know.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
How can you tell when someone's driving high?
I mean, I'm not going to confirm nor deny that I drive stoned, but hypothetically, I did. I drive very, very safely.
You do drive safe. You can. You do drive.
I think there've been actual studies.
The steering wheel feels like cushier. You're like,
yeah. I'm focused on the road. My favorite song's playing. You know?
Yeah,
I let people in.
Yeah,
I don't cut anybody off.
Should we hotbox Gil in here?
What's that?
Just start burning shit in here.
We have
no, we better not. Here's the thing that I think that because I know how much older people are in pain. Like you know how much pain they endure.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To the point where even if you thought if they walked a little bit and they can't, they say, "Oh, I can't walk," but they're leery of weed. And THC and yeah. Different products, but they shouldn't be. I'm saying, if you're older or whatever age, and you have chronic pain, and you're taking pills, and you've never tried this, I would say to try it. You'd be smart to try it.
Absolutely, and it doesn't even have to be smoking weed, because that's what, that's the biggest thing that I always run into, especially with like my wife's family. They're like, "Well, I don't want to inhale smoke."
Right.
And it's like, well, there's vaporizers, there's edibles, there's a whole smorgasbord of things that you could take to get what you need, you know?
It's almost to the point, just from a non-user, smoking is still, to me, you know, the stigma.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't bat an eye now for comfort to do the gummy bear, the THC.
Good.
I don't have to. Anybody who doesn't like it, they can kiss my ass.
but you found some relief in that, right?
Yes.
Pearl, too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is watching people find the relief and be like, oh, okay, it's not like how I thought. You know, like I smoked weed with an aunt of mine who's been up my ass my whole life about smoking weed. And I was like, I had a vape pen that I was just hitting. And it doesn't look like a regular vape pen. It's just cool looking. It's an Alien Labs, like green one. I wish I brought it. But, she hit it twice and was just like, oh, this is it? And it's like, yeah, this is what getting stoned is like now. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just having fun.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay.
And when it's I use it for pain, once again, it's not like you turn on the switch and then 5 minutes from now, you realize, hey, the pain's gone. No. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody asks you, hey, how's your finger doing?
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just not painful right now.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I love getting absolutely wrecked. Like, I still love. That's like my favorite.
Yeah, but how much does it take you to get wrecked?
Me? Now?
Dude, what do you mean? Like 200 milligrams? Like,
how many of these have you taken?
So I'll do 100 of these and I can walk around. I'll be fine. You know, because we do 100 on our podcast. But if I do 120 to 150, I feel every 10 milligrams of that. Like, I can really feel it. Dabs, I'll do a bunch. Smoking weed, I'll smoke. And I'll go on stage absolutely wrecked. But that is fun to me because normally when I'm on stage, I'm just kind of like, oh, the set's got to go good. Am I doing this new joke? Blah, blah, blah. But when I'm like stoned and up there, I'm like, oh, I'm in front of people and I just want to have fun. Like, I want to be silly. I want to make people laugh. And then, like, I'm in the moment. And I'm just having more fun.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, there's times where I'll be stoned and I'll be like, oh, this person's watching me, or like someone I really respect, or like an agent or something. But then if it's a full room and I'm just high, I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna have fun. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that I think our culture has been like either for or against. Nobody's in our culture, nobody's on the fence about anything. Fuck him.
Yeah.
I like that guy. But as we get older, I think we need to help ourselves because
Absolutely. You
know they're afraid. They're maybe they're shy. They don't know how to go into a place and ask for things.
Oh, absolutely.
But if they did, it would change everything.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for me, I use it. I don't know if it's an excuse or not. There's a purpose. You know, I want to be comfortable. I don't want pain. I'm not using it to get high. I want to get high. I'll go to a bottle of wine. You know, start drinking wine. Start drinking whiskey. Whatever my alcohol of choice.
But right? I think if you started to get high, I think you wouldn't even know it until half the bag was gone, but you and the dog would be eating from the same chip.
Absolutely.
Like, it'd be one for you and one for me. The whole bag. And they'd be watching you through the window.
My dog.
One for you.
I had my my aunt called me and was like, I wish you would stop smoking weed. And I was just like, I had to tell her how much money I made off of weed this year. And then I had to tell her, I was like, what do you think it'd be like if you didn't drink at all and only smoked weed? And she was just kind of like, oh, shit. Because she's only drank her whole life.
Right.
So it was just so funny to me that it was just like, yeah, you guys, my family has such strong opinions, yet I've seen them drink their whole lives, getting into fights, arguments, all this stuff. I was like, me and my cousin have smoked weed our whole lives. It was like, we don't get into trouble.
But it's also like a soothing agent. Like, if you eat like a gummy and then you drink a little bit, and you eat another one, but it'll keep you from going over the edge.
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel satisfied. So now you're just kind of enjoying the drink instead of trying to put it away.
Exactly.
And then you stay on a nice even.
Yeah. That putting away, that's something I've had to explain to, like.
I mean, I haven't done it a lot, but it works when I do it.
Yeah. That putting away thing, I've had to explain. I was like, yeah, that whole, like, putting it away, like, I got to, like, my family will kill a 24-pack. Like, that's their whole thing. They're like, we got the 36-pack, we got to kill it.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's how they've always been.
Yeah. I've never been like that. And I don't, you know, even do, you know, although not comedic-wise, you know, I've spoken in front of large groups. I'm calm, relaxed, I'm fun, and I'm funny. I don't need anything. Last night, I went up on stage on 2 bottles of water.
Yeah.
And it was all good.
This is an intervention, is it?
But No. Yes and no.
Not at all. And like I said, in the beginning, I'm no prude. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't care if my kids do it. You know, whatever. It's not my life. It's theirs. Yeah. You know?
So and, Gil, you know, we just met earlier this year. Like, he did the Night Stalker, you know.
Oh, big fan.
And his life was so different up until the documentary came out, and then I think the last 10 months have been...
Yeah.
Oh,
I
incredible.
Saw that car. Did they give you that from the Netflix doc? Because that thing's insane.
No, that's mine.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I hold that to myself. I'm a big man.
But you know, he got out of the house. He got, you know, he started coming here just as a guest, and we got along, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, come in here and have a good time. Met people he didn't think he would meet.
No, they really didn't. And I can still remember Bobby Lee. The first time I came in here, I had no idea it was going to be a podcast. Because all he told me was, hey, come on down, hang around. Here's the address. We get there around 2 o'clock. And so I came in here, and all of a sudden, hey, this is a podcast, and you're
That's
part
great.
Of it.
That's the best way to do it,
and
too.
And so he did it. And Bobby Lee said, are you nervous coming down here? And you're going to meet George. I said, no, I wasn't nervous at all. I was excited because I had paid good money to see George at least 5 different events, and now I get a chance to meet the celebrity.
Yeah.
And plus, we had talked on the phone. It was just nice. And since then, I get messages that people really enjoy the program and they like it. And hey, you and George work good together. And I tell them all the same thing. Hey, you know what? Thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoy the program. But nobody enjoys as much as I do being here. It's fun. It's fun, and there is no
pressure.
That's
what makes a beautiful podcast, is that relationship right there, is the fact that you're also not in this comedy world, but you're also having a legit great conversation with someone who's hilarious and knows how to, like, you know, dictate the conversation.
He does.
But also, you are such a great point of view, because you are, in a sense, the audience. You are the person that's watching the show. They can relate the most to you because you are the I don't say normal person, but you're the everyman, and that's great to watch. I've been watching all the episodes. I love it.
He's a fan. I'm very fortunate to be a part of it. And D.L. Hughley said he listens to almost every one of your podcasts, and he said you and George together are really good. You just mix, he says. And he was honest. He says, you know, he told me, he says, I got to be honest with you. He says, I don't like cops. As a matter of fact, he says, I'll be really honest.
I love sheriffs.
He says, I'll be really honest. I hate most of the motherfuckers.
He said,
but you're different. You know, you and George, you compliment each other, and you ain't never done this shit, and you're a natural. You know, you just talk, you go, and it doesn't bother. So it's just, fun, and I'm just flattered and honored to be here.
You remind me so much of my family. Like, you remind me dead on like my uncle, because my uncle's the same way. He's put him in any kind of situation socially, he knows how to talk to people. He's got stories. He's great to get along with. He can keep the ball moving. Yeah, so that's just so... Yeah, you're a great fit for this.
Hey, do they have a club that is more for weed and weed comedians? Like,
I've always...
I think that would work.
I've said that there needs to be a weed-friendly club. It doesn't need to be only weed,
right?
But the problem is people, you can't sell alcohol and weed at the same place. Mm-hmm. But if there was like just a venue where it was like, you could bring weed in, you can smoke. They have some comedy clubs at dispensaries that are like that, which I think would be great. It's fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. BYOB.
But yeah, I think that's the next thing.
Somebody said they go to the Laker games. One of the guests on here, I don't know. They go to the Laker games and they'd smoke up on top. You know, like their own little
group. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I don't remember
Snoop
which.
Snoop
Dogg? No,
I don't remember which guest it was.
Well, you know, some guys used to take a cigarette and take the tobacco out and put cocaine in it and then put it back in there and smoke it at halftime.
Really?
Ooh. They're called Cocoa Puffs. That's what they used to call it.
Is that right?
And now that I say Cocoa Puff, I think the person up there, if he hears, he knows it'll be him.
Hilarious.
This is pretty good, by the way.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, dude, I got.
He has pretty good, this man. Whole bag.
Yeah, can I sleep with this, or is this a wake up one?
No, these are all. This is all for you. But yeah, you could go ahead and look through those. I got bars and stuff.
Come on, with them.
Yeah,
bring your fucking bikini to the house.
You know what? I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of the house, brother.
The house of the fucking devil is in there.
No, man, just give the house some edibles. It'll be fine.
I think I should leave them out. You see the shadow, but instead it's like this.
You walk into your kitchen, you're like, oh my God, it's been haunted. Oh, wait, and there's just food everywhere. Oh. And you're just like, oh, this thing's...
Is that me or is that... Yeah.
I just made a sandwich.
But it's You know, I'm impressed with how far it's come in a short... Oh, here's a cream. Here, open that one, girl. Let's see.
Oh, that's...
It all looks great. Great packaging, too, man.
That's strawberries and cream.
Oh, strawberries and cream.
Those are all edibles.
No, these are awesome. And great... The great packaging, too.
Oh yeah, no, Punch is great. They've been supporting me since day one. So they're all good dudes too.
Yeah,
this is super.
But also, I think there's a lot of Mexicans that work for the company too. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, they used to grow strawberries. They're growing weed now.
I used to have a joke about how.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to have this joke about how like how mad do you think Mexicans that work the fields find out about like white people trimming weed. They're like, they're doing what in Oregon? You could just trim and smoke weed. What are we doing down here?
Yeah. Right, and they know how to do it. Just you know,
absolutely.
Like a bonsai tree. Like there's one little thing here.
There's a lot of college kids will go up to the up north and they'll trim for the season. They'll make their money and they come back. Oh. They call them trimmigrants. It's terrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because it's a bunch of white kids that go up north to it's so dumb. But what started happening is there's groups of like it's kind of it's Vietnamese people, but these farms are starting to get groups of them to come up and they'll like 100 of them will show up. They'll trim for like. Half the cost, and it'll be like families, and they'll just be making rice and stuff, and they'll camp out for the months, and it's like crazy how much they're just murdering the whole. It's great.
I think you have to look at what you're growing, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden say, you know, we don't fuck around with this, and we could be doing this.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know how much more, but. Time, more times the money that...
When you said cream, I thought this was
candy. I thought it was
candy.
Too.
Yeah, it
candy. Strawberries and cream?
There's no cream in here, right?
No cream. That's all edibles.
Milligrams, 10 milligrams of THC. How much is that?
No, that's 100. Each little square is 10.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And that's rosin.
Explain rosin to Gil. Even though I don't know, I'll fucking put it on. Can you explain to Gil?
Rub it on your head before you pitch.
So that's concentrate. That's what you put in this. So that is solventless. It's basically heat, water, and pressure. So they get weed, they freeze it, and you know they have little crystals. That's the THC.
Yeah.
They put it in an ice bath, and they just beat it, and all the crystals fall. And they push it together with heat, and it makes that, and you smoke it, and it just lights you up. And they put that in joints, too.
Yeah, the dab. Is that what the...
Yep.
That's what the rosin.
I got you one of these.
That's what this thing is, which is incredible.
How do you use that one? Let's see.
You just double tap it, and then you hit it. Do you want me to show you?
Yeah.
All right. I'll use mine.
With the light in there. See, if you marijuanas, they fucking think of everything.
Yeah, dude, this
in my day, we would have said, why don't we put a light in there? The next morning, nobody would fucking remember.
Bro, this is Bluetooth, dog. This hooks up to your phone.
It's yeah. This thing is insane.
Yeah,
do
you play jams?
Yeah, dog.
No, come on.
No, you can't play music. Oh,
don't toy with a motherfucker that's easily influenced.
Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah, it connects to your phone and everything. So these guys, Puffco,
put on some of your Eric Clapton.
Big fan of them. They've supported
it's
me for a while.
Not a speaker, though, right?
No, not a speaker. I'll let them know though. I'll have to put them in.
Honestly, great idea.
I'll let them know.
Well, no, he's like close with the people who.
And also, I may say that it's a different shape than most. Yeah, I like
this
the shape.
One's
of
the bigger one.
I like the shape of it.
Do you want me to set you up?
No.
Are you sure? All right.
Because I'd be out of my mind.
He hit it before he came on, and you can see him already.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, did you know it's been working? Today's Grant's birthday.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, today is.
Today is Grant's birthday.
I'm going to come shop it in the little store that I just opened up here.
Are you going to charge him?
Thank you very much.
But people still, I think, are afraid of it, right?
Yeah, well, it's just the stigma. People are like, but it's...
Does it help? Can it help slow things? I mean, dementia, Alzheimer's, or...
There have been studies that it has helped.
If they did, that would be bad.
They have done studies, but if weed was able to full on like treat and help and cure Alzheimer's, I think that would be an insane breakthrough. Would be one of the things that a lot of people wouldn't be able to deny or like be like weed's terrible,
right?
Yeah.
In Denver, when they were the first ones.
One of the first ones to legalize it.
They did it right. I mean, I think they. They set kind of the way the other states would work.
Yeah.
Like everybody thought that people would be in the streets, nobody wanted them, you know, laid out, but nothing. It's all very.
Nope. Everyone's at home, passed out. Yeah. It's
Legalize.
Everybody's at home. By the way, I got a request. I guess the Raiders are going to play the Broncos.
Yeah.
And somebody said, get your tacos. Get your taco wagon up there again.
To the stadium?
Yeah. Come and feed the Raiders.
Yeah.
I went to the game yesterday.
Oh.
Man.
Yeah.
Brand new stadium, sold out. Lose to the Bears.
At least the loss looked nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They got a nice team. I mean, you know, but you could see. I think because of the John Gruden thing, I think that got people a little bit off there. Because all everybody was thinking about there.
What happened with him? It was like leaked emails or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was leaked emails.
An email was talking about one of the guys in the union.
Uh-oh.
Are we going to get in trouble for emails from 10 years ago?
I'll
be in the garage with these when they come and get me.
Minus the sugars and cream or strawberry and cream.
Yeah. But no, I think John Boehner, the guy that was Speaker of the House, he helped get it passed, and then he bailed. It just all he does is weed now.
Yeah,
exactly. Grows it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grows it.
Yep. I mean, if weed was, I mean, I think the main issue that should happen is everyone that's in jail for weed still should be let go.
Well, they just announced on the news they're going to expunge a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let them out of jail.
Yeah, which is great.
What if you had weed was your third strike? Would they let you out?
It was nonviolent. They probably wouldn't have done anything with it anymore anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go so far as letting a bunch of people out. You know, it was at some time. It was depending on what they're doing, and a lot of people would plead to possession as opposed to pleading dealing.
Yeah.
So in the prison system, somebody goes in there. Let's say they get 6 years, and is the goal in the 6 years to have them adjust to living the life when they get released of not being a criminal?
Well, everything is built towards rehabilitation, with the exception of the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell who's going to be. Some guys can and some guys can't. They get out.
They get out. And
they go back to where they grew up or where they live.
Exactly.
They run into the same bad people there.
Exactly. Yeah. You get people. You know, we move people out of state. You know, that became informants. You know, they rolled over and saved themselves, so they move them out of state. But give them about 6 months, and they're right back in the bottom. You know, they miss it. This is all they know.
Yeah. There was I was playing golf in Arizona at a country club, and these guys sitting around. They go, "Hey, there's Scott," and they go, "Scott, come over, meet somebody." It's a little guy, about 5'3", Italian guy, big Rolex. Hey, Zeus, guys. Hey, Scott, this is Joe. Hey, nice to meet you, man. What is that, a Fregese? Let me see that watch. Is that a Fregese? Clearly a mobster who went into the witness relocation program and fucking lives in Arizona. Hey, I take it easy, guys. Hey, that Scott's a good guy. That motherfucker Sammy the Bull, motherfucker. Hey, Scott.
Sammy the Bull.
They're out there.
And now he's come out of hiding.
Yeah, man. Griselda Blanca owns a taco shop in fucking New Hampshire right now, dog.
Yeah. And you fucking, you're like, that's not that dude's background.
Yeah.
First thing he said about the watch, hey, is that a Fregese? Let me see that thing. You're like, jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't fly under the radar like that. A guy like that's not going to.
Well, no. Sammy eventually just came out. He didn't give a shit about anybody anymore.
But there's a lot of people in. Let's go through that. Do you ever know met anybody in the witness relocation program?
Have I met anyone in the witness relocation? Yeah. No.
They can't say.
If you did, they weren't doing their job.
Yeah, but, no,
but is there a way to tell if somebody in one of these neighborhoods, if you're living next to somebody who...
WITSEC?
Because you would have to get a new name and a new identity.
I haven't found anybody in the witness protection program living back here in L.A. County. You know, we normally...
Yeah.
We just move them away, get them out of state. But they all come back. This is all they know.
Yeah.
You know, it's their life. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, if they took you out of comedy and put you in Arizona, said you can't do anything anymore, that's
it. Oh, yeah.
You know...
You mean last year?
Last year. How'd you get through the pandemic?
Oh, man. Through a lot of weed. But when the pandemic hit, it sucked for me because I lost my job at the store, and then I was supposed to go on the road and do theaters with Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
And then that all got canceled. But it made me figure everything out, and now I'm fine. Like, I started the podcast, got all these things working, and then it made me make the next step, which was quitting the store and then trying to be a headliner and make money on your own.
Quitting the store is a big deal, huh?
When you get passed, you have to quit. It's not... They don't make you, but it's implied. Like, all the other door guys kind of like, they're like, hey, you're like the senior that's still hanging around. But also, like, getting passed doesn't solve your problems. Like, you make a little money doing stand-up there, but, like, you know, you don't make... what you were making working the door.
So there's a whole infrastructure there set up.
Absolutely.
It's been like that for years, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. So the OR, when you work there, I think you get paid, I think, $25. But when you do the main room, you split the door. So depending if it sells out, you can actually make a living off that, which is great. Mm-hmm. But if you're a young guy like me, you don't get a lot of main room spots all the time. You'll get them here and there. So it's hard to be like consistently be like, I'm making money off this. But now that I'm like touring and headlining, you know, trying to move tickets. I mean, as stressful as that's ever been, it's the most fun I've ever had.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Because I'm finally doing my own thing. Like, my whole family kind of doesn't quite understand this, but, like, you know, they all have the 9-to-5 mindset, which is fine. But this is like, you know what it's like being a comic. It's every day, all the time.
Yeah.
I had no idea how tough it was. I was talking to Momo about it last night and listening to you. I had no idea. This is everything you had to go through and what you have to do.
Yeah. The store, especially 6 years, it was like college.
Yeah. And there's some times that you're not having a good day. You don't, you know, you got to get yourself to that place. But
that's, my wife has been a godsend. She's got her master's in psychology. She is a psychologist. But through this whole thing, we've been together for like 10 years. She's really been my rock.
That's amazing.
There's been so many times where like I've been broke, crying on the street, like, I want to quit. And then she's just like, nah, you got to keep doing it. And then, you know, now we're in a better place.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it gets tough.
Yeah, if you're on tour like that, if you're touring with musician guys, but comedy too, it's because those days get shorter, you know, when you're going from like town to town or traveling in the middle of the night to get to the next place, you know, you get out of bed, it's can people have lunch? It's like 2 o'clock. You take a little nap, and it's time to go. Like your day's that big.
Yeah. What was it like when you came up in the scene, especially being like, you know, I feel like one of the only Mexicans at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Rodriguez was at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, he was.
And I saw him maybe like in 19. I met him in 79, but I saw him in 82. And he popped in, and he had this leather jacket, and it looked good, man. He was funny as fuck, man. It was all attitude. So me and my buddy Ernie left. I looked at him, and I said, man, can you imagine by the time I get that good, that dude's going to be fucking that good. But he was never really a guy who worked on his act or never really wrote. He just kind of would wing it. You know, sometimes he'd do great, sometimes he wouldn't do great. But he was winging it. Didn't really write stuff, but he was clever.
Yeah.
But he never really wrote. So I think a little bit catches up to you if you don't write, and you're just trying to swing for the fences.
And now he's going, one of these days I'll be up there.
Yeah.
Like you.
That's one of those things that was stressed to me when I was working the store, was like, write. They're like, write, write, write. Neil Brennan told me, he goes, the most successful comedians are the ones who are writing every day.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Jeselnik, I wrote this down after he said it. He goes, you want to be a stand-up that writes, not a writer that does stand-up.
Right.
Because after Roast Battle, I tried my hardest to get into a lot of roast writing rooms or writing jobs, and it just never panned out. And it weighed on me so much. Like, it beat myself up, because the whole thing was like, they're like, we need diversity. I'm like, I'm a Mexican guy that fucking murdered on TV. Like, why am I not in these rooms? Like, my packets are great. And then you realize there's a lot of politics when it comes to, like, writers' rooms and just the industry. So that's kind of why I wanted to get into weed, was because I was like, oh, I can just write sketches or write for these brands, and they'll treat me better instead of trying to sacrifice myself and get into these rooms and then not do stand-up.
Right.
I applaud you for following your convictions.
Absolutely, yeah, sure. Yeah. You should be proud of yourself. So the roast battle, you know what a roast battle is? We explained the guild.
No.
We explained
Okay. So it's two comics going head-to-head. They do about 3 to 5 jokes each. It's just back and forth. It's like, you know, the dozens back in the day. But with the comics, they tell you who you're going against, so you have about a week or two to prepare. So for me, I would do research. I'd, like, figure out who I'm going against, learn everything about their family, learn, like, their insecurities. Shit. Like, just learn about them, right? And then the more information I have, the better I am at writing a better roast joke. And then it got to that point where I would write about 100 jokes, cut down to 20, and then I would have my 12 jokes that I was going to do, some throwaway lines, and then, yeah, I just come in prepared.
Give them an example. Give us an example.
One of my favorite ones was I was battling a friend of mine who's now a woman, back then was gay, I feel like I just canceled myself. Joe Dosh was the person I was battling, and I said their forehead is so big because it gives them more rooms to think about dicks. Just dumb shit like that. I was battling Jay Light, who's this white kid. I said, he's so white that he forgets to cash his paychecks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
That's hilarious.
And I battled a kid in a wheelchair. That was actually my TV debut, was battling a kid in a wheelchair. I said, Joe is much more than a comedian in a wheelchair. He's also an extreme burden on his family. and then I, one of the other ones I had was, I was like, Joe's a Mexican comic, or Joe's family's Mexican and his wife's not, they're mad at him. Oh, fuck. I forgot what it was. Like, Joe's family's mad at her because she picked a vegetable or something like that. Was she picking it? Yeah. Now I remember. I was like, they're just mad because they picked fruits and she picked a vegetable.
That's beautiful,
through line. Yeah, it was amazing. So it was a lot of stuff like that. And, like, my mom was so worried that I was going to get in trouble for battling a kid in a wheelchair. Mm. And it ended up getting me on the TV show.
Yeah,
and it blew up. Yeah. But that episode ended up getting pulled. My TV debut ended up getting pulled because Chris D'Elia got canceled.
Oh, wow.
Chris D'Elia was the judge on my episode, and then...
Chris D'Elia, yeah, right.
Yeah, so they canceled it. So they pulled my TV debut and Greg's TV debut and, like, a bunch of other people's. And, like, this is the thing that was so funny to me, was, like, they pulled his episode, which is, like, I get why they had to show that they did something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they also, like, canceled the TV debut of, like, 6 comics from marginalized communities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, I don't know, it was just a weird thing that happened.
But they, you know, before, if somebody got in what did they say, hot water, like, nobody ever tried to cancel anybody.
Yeah, it's like, I think consequences are fine, but the act of, like, canceling someone, you know what I mean, is just such an odd thing. But also, I truly don't think comics get canceled. Every comic that I've seen get canceled has just sold tickets out on the road, which is our ultimate goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like no one gets canceled based on actual material. Like, if they do shit sort of outside that, crimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, so, but. I mean, I don't want to keep talking about it. You know, what's his name? He's going to be fine. He's still going to be able to tour. He's got his podcast and everything. He's probably never able to do TV anymore, which is... that's kind of like you get a timeout from TV.
You get a strong Patreon.
You get
following.
A you get a and like a solid Patreon following, which you know.
Yeah, it depends on what you.
Yeah,
you're just working in another area.
Yeah. So.
But.
I'm lucky I had a confirmed job. You know, I didn't
yeah, this is the things you never have to deal with. Also, now that we're talking, where are we on that Brian Landry case? How are you?
The dog. Yeah, the dog's going to find him.
Where is he, though? Is he dead?
No, I don't think he's dead, you know, unless he committed suicide, and I doubt it. He's got too big of an ego to do that because he got away with everything, but... I think he's out in the swamps, you know, by his house. He knows the area. You know, the people are, it sounds like he's a survivalist and it's hard to track over there. And with no electronic surveillance or no hints or anything else, I find it difficult.
Did you follow them or anything before the crime?
Oh, no, I didn't follow them. But that's like my closing joke right now is making fun of, not making fun of, but talking about that and their relationship.
Yeah.
Because I just related it to my relationship where it was just kind of like, I've been with my wife for like 10 years. And whenever we see something like that happen, we immediately are just like, do you think you can get away with killing me? You know what I mean? Like we just ask each other stupid questions like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, but I've just been talking about it on stage. It's been a lot of fun. The response has been pretty good. A lot of O's and ahs, and then a lot of people laughing.
What did you think of the way that the police spoke to her and the way the police spoke to him?
It was it for me. It felt like I was watching a cop have to deal with an argument between a couple, and he was just like, "Ugh," you know what I mean? But that's what it kind of felt like. And then the argument itself, watching them, it felt like an argument between such a young couple, like a couple that've been, you know what I mean? He was like, "She didn't." She goes, he didn't believe that I could be a travel blogger. And I was like, that's such a, I've been in a fight with my girlfriend for 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to make it. Like, I've been in that fight so many times. Sounds, but it's like, just lie to me.
That's a good one.
Sounds to me like some cop was lazy because they even said definitively, you know, hey, somebody's got to go. You know, if there's evidence, somebody's got to go. And somebody just found a way to, you know, okay, both go your separate ways or everything's going to be okay. You say it's going to be all right. We'll let you go. We don't have to do this. And so they were just lazy, didn't want to write paper, didn't want to go through the exercise.
Well, the 911 call said that some guy called in and said, hey, there's this guy slapping his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay, so when they pulled him out of the car and started to talk, all of a sudden it turned into her being him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very, like, I was like, this seems like a very weird, like, just,
lazy.
They were trying to move him along, I think.
Yeah, let's just go, don't write paper. This is a boyfriend. It happens all the time, but only now the law is very definitive.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take, they didn't take action.
Did they take responsibility?
No, they haven't yet.
The cop has, I think it's one, like, no matter what it is, if it's domestic, anything, one person has to,
if there's any evidence of physical contact, yes. And there was, and they didn't. They let it go. And so I think eventually when all this is over, somebody's going to get sued. There's going to be problems.
The dust settled. How long after that video did he murder her, if he did?
I think it was like a week later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not going away.
Was he that young, too? Was he in his early 20s?
Yeah, he was like early 30s? Early 20s? Yeah, he didn't seem like he was that
young,
old.
Though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like an old piece of shit. He was like, he was like balding and stuff. The whole time I looked at that relationship, I was like, she could do better.
That's what they tell you.
She had her shot at me.
Your girl there, I don't know who that messed
with. No.
But you know, man, I think I said this before. You know, when we were like 13 or 14 in the neighborhood, there was a guy who was maybe 19 or 20 around there, and he was having sex with somebody at his job, but she was married. And so she was older. She was probably 30. He was probably 19. And he would talk to us about it on the porch. And we'd be sitting there. We're 14. We're like, wow. And then what? And one day somebody knocked at the door, and that guy opened it, and her husband shot him through the screen, hit him in the chest, and dropped him right there.
Holy fuck! Ooh. Yeah, man. People.
That was a long time. That was fucking 1975, maybe?
Oh, wow.
Damn.
And we went over there because the police came. They had the door was open. You could see the hole. You could see his shoes. The same shoes he was wearing when he was talking to us. It was fucking eerie.
Fuck, dude.
Man. Because you're like, that. He was just telling
us. Was that the first time you were like around a murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was like 13 and a couple across the street from where I was staying murder-suicided themselves. Yeah. Because one of them was like had like a life threatening illness and was like, I can't live without you. And then they just fucking both went out. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
I think the tough ones are.
I told my mother-in-law, if I get that bad, if I get that desperate, I'm going to kill your wife, kill your daughter, because I don't want her to see me suffer. She didn't think it was funny. She didn't think it was funny. That's pretty good, man.
That's hilarious.
You need 120 more of those, I'll throw you in the fucking roast battle. Yeah.
I asked my wife if she could kill me, and she said, absolutely. She said,
with her hands or no?
No,
tomorrow?
She said, she was like, you never pay attention to what I feed you. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, you've thought of that
a lot.
Yeah.
It's not easy, I don't think, to me, disposing of the body would be like when you go to the market and they tell you how much chicken you grab in 5 minutes. You're running around and you're trying to get something done, but you're touching things and you're, right?
Yeah. I asked my wife, I was like, do you think I could kill you? And she said, no, because killing someone and getting away with it requires patience, like a thought out plan and follow through, which I apparently have none of. She was like, you have none of those
things. That's fucking beautiful.
And I was like, okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it goes on every day. And the husband's always a prime suspect.
Always.
And they still do it.
Yeah.
That's why they're the prime suspect.
They can't stop. They still do it. Because they're not going to get away with it, but I don't know if they see a little bit of light. I don't think you can. Somebody can withstand the conversation with the police officer,
guilt,
the FBI.
The guilt. I just look. I can't look into anybody else's mind. Look at myself, I know I could kill if I wanted. You know. Like my wife.
Damn.
I know I can do that, but I can do it.
Yeah,
but would I ever?
Can we go ahead and note the time?
I could join in.
I could never, ever get away with it because the guilt would hit me.
You know,
you talk to somebody.
That's so funny.
Eventually, you have to talk, and that's what gets killers caught. They talk.
Oh, yeah.
I like how you're like, I can absolutely do the act of killing my wife, but it's the guilt that would make me feel bad.
Yeah,
no. I was like, that's so funny.
Let me clarify. I just use that as an example. Not that I would ever.
No, yeah.
Means, but not the motive.
Yeah.
But then your behavior changes.
50 years. I'm in. Yeah. It's too late now.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But then your behavior changes, and even being natural is the most unnatural thing.
It is.
How
they do it. I have no idea.
Gone Baby was one of my favorite movies. Did you watch that one?
Gone Baby?
Dude, no. It was with the lady who fakes her own kidnapping.
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. What am I thinking? Gone Baby? Oh, I'm thinking of a song.
Girl.
Gone Girl with fucking Ben Affleck
and Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a really
fantastic movie.
It's a good movie.
One of the great thrillers of the past.
Gone Girl.
Based on a book.
You see Matchstick Man?
Oh, that was a great one. Actually, I cried during that one.
Man was.
Yeah, I cry during a lot of movies.
I'm the same.
Nicolas Cage has OCD.
Yep, and Sam Rockwell, right?
And Sam Rockwell. Oh, and they play these two guys that call people up, and they say, you just want those water filter systems? And then they come over to your house, and I get you talking, and you write a check for like $10, and then you just take the information off the check. And they were ripping people off.
Yeah, they were con men. It was great.
With the suits and the whole, then they would go back and pretend that they were the police.
Yeah. And then I think they would case the house and then steal it, or break back in. Yeah.
See, now I don't want to watch a movie. You guys told me all about.
No, that's just a small
part.
Yeah, bro. Trust me. The twist when you find out the robots, it's pretty great.
That's just the tease.
That flying. But yeah, and this is pretty good too, by the way.
Feeling it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling it.
So it's the chocolate that's... Oh, now I'm feeling it, too. I just... The full 100.
Yeah. You did 100?
Yeah, I did 100, yeah.
Damn, dude.
So is that like a whole container of one of these things?
Yeah. 10 balls. Yeah.
You want to try it on?
I'm going to try it. We'll watch the Dodger game tonight.
Can it all put you to sleep, or it has to be like indica?
Can for me.
Which one?
Oh,
would be good
edibles, whichever edibles you take, those will put you to sleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's better, man.
I got to finish watching Dodger game.
Yeah, Dodger game.
They win tonight?
Yeah.
It's tied right now, right? The series?
1-1, yeah.
Yep.
It's in our favor now. We're
you see Tom Cruise, that picture of Tom Cruise?
That's so funny. He looks like Norm MacDonald.
What the fuck is that, man? What is
I
that?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Wait, somebody told me he's playing Santa Claus. That's bullshit. That's what I should tell people. Hey, man, you put some weight on? Oh, yeah. I'm playing Santa Claus. In my new show.
You have a new show? Yeah. That's why I'm gaining this weight.
You're going on tour, too, soon, right?
I think I have been.
Yeah, you have been. Yeah,
you just think you have been? Yeah, you have been.
Yeah, he's got a full face, huh?
Yeah, he's got.
Sure does.
Tommy Cruise.
Is it filler? Is that filler or is that just him?
I don't know, man.
I even questioned, they put his name up there. You know, maybe I first when I saw it, I thought it was a lookalike. You know, somebody resembled him. And then they put his name down the bottom.
It didn't fucking look like him.
And he looked big. You
people
know?
Gotta be tripping off that. What could that be? Could be kidney disease, liver, kidney, swollen face.
He also seems like the kind of guy
too
that
many
like,
George Lopez tacos.
Okay.
If something happens, he doesn't seem like the kind of celebrity that would like tell everybody. It would just like happen, and then people would be like, "Oh shit!"
And you have to go to a doctor who was a Scientologist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they don't really believe in doctors too.
They don't, huh?
Have you?
He's like psychologist, right?
Have you seen this? Oh, dude,
tell me which one?
Fascinating. So there's Going Clear, which is an amazing doctor.
That's good. I saw that one. You seen Going Clear on HBO?
Is that the one with Lee Remy?
Yeah.
No. That's
that's her show.
Matt Bloomfield.
Yeah, Matt Bloomfield did that job.
Okay, no, I didn't see it, though.
So, like, most Scientologists believe that once you get to the highest level of Scientology, you reach, like, this level of, what's the best word, like, spirituality that you no longer get sick or anything like that. You just can cure yourself with your thoughts. That's kind of the deal.
Just
and that's what happened with, I think, Leah Remini's mom. No, right? No, that was someone else in Scientology. One of the people that defected their... Mom was in a super high level, died, and she wasn't supposed to because she was at this high level of Scientology. Mm-hmm. And then that's when people start to like leave because they're like, "Oh, this is bullshit."
That's what it took, huh?
Yeah.
They got a lot of. That's a big business, man. In Clearwater, you been to Clearwater?
No, they have a base in Temecula though. Or no, my bad. Hemet.
Is that the one where they go to punish you?
Yep. I've driven by it. Yeah, it's a huge compound. It's crazy.
So they send you over there, and then you become, we have to be careful with
it. Yeah,
you become someone who works for a low wage.
Yeah. That's probably going to be the one thing that's going to get us. Yeah, we're all going to get fucking murdered. So you sign like a lifelong contract, and you get paid low wages, and then if you don't follow and then you get punished, you get sent to Hemet, where it's like a reprogramming kind of deal.
Yeah. Is it gold base?
I think so, yes.
They've been around, a long time.
A lot of actors are in it.
And have some prime real estate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of they own a lot of property.
I mean, the visual of Gold Base is like an oasis in the desert on this picture.
Oh, absolutely. But it is not an oasis.
Anything but.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody that's a Scientologist?
No, but
I
do.
Just say if there's something bad.
So this is the best part about young comics. There's two young comics that were door guys at the store named Abby Roberge and Ari Manis. They walked into the Scientology building just to see how far they could get one day. And they ended up getting to like going to an elevator and getting all the way down. And they walked into like a photo shoot. And one of the people there was like, "Are you guys here for the photo shoot?" And they're like, "Yeah." So they dressed up in Scientology stuff. And they were in the Scientology like monthly magazine that gets made and sent to all the Scientologists. So they were on like one of the, it was hysterical.
That's insane.
That's hilarious. But they go down there and go.
Yeah, they got down there and they were able to get out. But after a while, they're like, "Yeah, the Scientology Museum is pretty cool." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Now I'm like, "I'm not hanging out with you for the next few months because I don't know if you got God."
Ari Manis will do anything.
Ari Manis is a very funny comic. He will absolutely do anything for a joke. And that was one of the funniest things he ever did. I think, what was the thing he did with his mom's car?
Oh, I don't know.
He gave away one of his mom's cars on Craigslist. So when his parents came home, they were like, "What the hell?" And he gave away their cars on Craigslist. There's no other way to say it. It was pretty, and he filmed it. It was hilarious. Yeah.
They get it back?
He comes from like a pretty rich family.
Oh, so they were like, they didn't want it back.
No. I think they just bought new cars, but like they were not happy. Like his mom did not think it was funny at all.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
There was a dude this guy Wally, out there by Mission Hills where I grew up. And he was house sitting for this couple, and they had horses, kind of like a ranch style house, and he sold one of their horses. Sold the horse.
That's amazing.
Holy shit.
That's so great.
And they're like, what did you say? He goes, when they got home, no, I told them I sold their horse.
And how'd they take it?
They fired them and they tried to get the horse back, but they're like, hey, man.
Gone with
the
wind.
A deal is a deal.
Oh, my God. That's
sold their horse.
Holy shit, dude.
Had somebody come in and take him around, ride him. And what do you think? Yeah, I'll take him. They packed the truck up, put him in the trailer, and took him.
That's so great. I love stories like that.
I was a guy who wouldn't do, I wouldn't do pranks, man.
You wouldn't?
No.
No.
I was really kind of, you know, but there's some pretty good pranks, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you guys, cops pull pranks on each other?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
Like we pull this one where we put. Never mind. I'm not going to make that joke.
Somebody in the trunk.
Yeah.
We used to ride around in the trunk as kids.
Did you?
Nothing. No fucking being pulled over. No, hey, you can't do that to that kid.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just got.
Back in the day, you used to be able to cash your checks at bars.
Yeah, you could, huh?
Yeah. My dad would tell stories about how on payday, his mom and dad would drive to the bar and be like, hey, we got to go cash our paychecks. And they'd be in there for like an hour and a half. And they'd just be outside in the street, like playing by the car. They're like, we didn't think anything was wrong. And I was like, yeah, I think that's abuse.
They used to have more of those little bars. Okay. Those little like,
yeah.
Where all dark little during the day.
Yeah. Local cantinas right there around the bottom. They'd all go in there. I remember hearing stories that my suegro would go in there and my wife would have to go in there. Hey, mom, send me here, get the check.
Wow, man, that's true.
Yeah.
During the day, too, or if they only worked half day, the rest of the afternoon, they'd be at the dude drop in, the top hat.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friend's mom was at the top hat on Laurel Canyon near Fox, and she came into a liquor store and we were walking home from school. And she goes, give me a ride home, boys. We're like 14. We kind of don't know how to drive. It's just straight down there. So we gave her a ride home. And when she was looking for her keys, a gun fell out of her purse.
Oh, my God.
She's like, where are my keys? And fucking gun fall. Oh, give me that. Give me that. Put it back. Here are the keys. And she was one of those ladies that
packing.
Had a 38.
She's packing?
Packing.
Dude, that's so
And we
funny.
Drove her home. And then we had to walk. Fucking 10 miles back. We got fucked in that deal. We were 5 minutes away from home. We left her in the car. Like, how do we get back? She's asleep. And then started walking, man.
Didn't let you keep the gun? That's crazy.
Fuck, no. She took that thing. But now we're like way in the fuck out here. Lakeview Terrace. Now we get back to Mission Hills.
That's funny, hilarious. Man. No good deed.
Oh.
So if people want to get some of this, Where is there an Instagram page?
Punch Edibles on Instagram, Punch Extracts. You can also check it out at Buds and Roses. A lot of Weed Maps one. You can just search. And then Puffco's got a great website, puffco.com. You can follow me on Instagram. I plug these guys all the time. But yeah.
That's good shit.
And then I work for Top Tree. That's it, man.
You can make money in this business, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've been able to pay my rent. It's been pretty crazy.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming in, dude.
Dude, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course, bro.
Yeah. Going on tour. Is it cool if I plug my
tour? Of course.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool. And hit the podcast because you haven't said it's
name
yet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude. I'm high, too. Yeah, you know what I mean? I got a podcast called Peaked. It's Peak TV on Instagram. I'm going on tour October 17th through the 21st. Denver, Colorado, Comedy Works. Portland, Oregon, the Funny House Lounge. I should remember the other ones. San Jose Improv, and then the Los Angeles Hollywood Melrose Improv. So
beautiful.
Very excited. Brian Simpson, Rachel Wolfson.
You know what? I'm going to come and see you, man.
What?
One of those days I'm going to try to come see you.
Oh, man. Now I'm super nervous.
Now your hand's getting wet again?
Yeah, now
hey, let's go see you, man.
Let's go.
Hey, guess you go.
I've been running long enough where I can watch now.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking about those days at the Comedy Store when I was there in the... the main room, the original room is the one on top, and then the main room is the big one. So you would hear, like, just this fucking roar. And there was a door to go to the bathroom, three little steps up in the bathroom. You open the door, and a straight shot to the stage, a right place in the middle of the door. Robin Williams is up there with his hair. He's got the rainbow suspenders. Like, I guess he might have come from Paramount, Morgan Mindy. And he had the khaki pants on, and he was, ooh, he had this chick with it. And you're like, fuck, man.
Yeah. The great
there, man.
Dude.
And he just went up there. No introduction. Just walked down.
I got to meet him a year before he passed away. And then I got to meet Jim Carrey a year when I was working at the store.
Yeah.
I was checking IDs, and we got to talk. It was great.
Deep thinker, Jim Carrey, man.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that he would be because he started his career so wild. But yeah.
Very deep thinker. It was very interesting talking to him. He told us the whole story, the check. I was very lucky to be in the circle of comics he was talking to when he was, because he had just came back to the store and it had been a while.
Yeah.
So he kind of was like reminiscing and talking and everything. It was powerful. You could feel it. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of shit. The Comedy Store had some great, everybody's been through there.
Yeah.
Great memories. And if you've never been, you should go through.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Comedy Store's the greatest. That's the way I feel when I'm around these guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
The golf tournament last week was.
It was awesome. It was great. I was nervous coming out here to see George meeting doing the show. I told George over there at the tournament. When I left my house, I told my wife. I said, I'm nervous. He said, what are you nervous for? You've done this shit. You know, you've gone out with. I said, no, but I mean, these are all rich people. They got a lot of bucks. I'm not in there. You know. In their crowds, I don't know how I'm going to act. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to get in your way.
No, no, yeah.
And so I was nervous till I got there. And then once I got there, it was nice. People treated me good.
Yeah.
And it was all good. It was probably in my adult life, other than my family, it was probably one of the best days I've ever had.
Hell yeah, man.
Everybody loved to have you there.
I couldn't talk enough to my kids, to my friends. Everybody's checking with me. It was good.
It was beautiful. Yeah. All right. Here we are, baby.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Dream come true, Doc.
Right on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure.